ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
International Affairs.
To Thailand now, where voters have delivered a stunning verdict in favour of an opposition party that's calling for radical reform of the country's institutions. Early results show that the Move Forward has exceeded almost every prediction to win 151 of the 500 seats in the lower house. It's now 10 seats ahead of what was the front runner, Pheu Thai, led by an ex-prime minister, Thaksin Shinawat, the daughter of the ex-prime minister. Analysts are calling it a political earthquake that represents a significant shift in public opinion. Joining us now, Susanna Patton, who's director of the Southeast Asia Program and project lead for the Asia Power Index at the Lowy Institute. Susanna, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Philip. Thanks for having me.
Just remind us who the Move Forward Party is and why their win is such a significant result.
The Move Forward Party is only contesting their second election. It's a party which is predominantly led by much, much younger people than most of Thailand's politicians, and with a much more radical agenda. So their agenda is really to push for widespread institutional reform in Thailand, including a reduction of the role of the military in politics, really improving Thailand's democratic credentials. And then within that, they have some specific proposals which are controversial in Thailand, like, for example, ending military conscription, reforming the Lese Majeste law, which prohibits criticism of the monarchy, and also reforming Thailand's very hierarchical education system. Mm. So they're very much pushing for a whole-scale reform of the country.
Mm. I mean, the win was once unthinkable. A party really calling for, as you say, wholesale changes to Thailand's bureaucracy, its economy, its relationship with the crown, which is a thing which Australians might not understand the strength of all that, the role of the military. What's happened here, do you think? Is it just a demographic change? Is it because of the changing demographic, an increasing number of younger people and what they see as their role and opportunity in Thailand, or what's going on?
I think it is partly demographic, but Thailand is an ageing society. And actually, if you look at the extent of support for Move Forward in urban areas in Bangkok and in other major cities across the country, this has to be about more than just young people wanting something different. I think it's about a frustration with the military that has built since the military took power in 2014, and also a sense that the established Pheu Thai opposition was not offering a genuine choice, but was offering more of the same. And I think one of the real problems for Pheu Thai in this campaign was a perception that they were likely to join in a coalition with the military and conservative parties. And so it was really only Move Forward that was offering voters a clear and different choice.
Mm. We now have the beginnings of the coalition building process, as no one's got a clear majority. How difficult is that process going to be? And can you explain to us also the peculiar role of the military in Thailand?
Well, the two opposition or current opposition parties, Pheu Thai and Move Forward, do have a sizable majority in the lower house. So they've gained support from other smaller parties, and together they have more than 300 out of 500 seats of the lower house who are willing to join with them in that coalition. But the catch is that under Thailand's constitution, which was put in place after the military coup, it's not just the lower house MPs who vote on the prime minister, but also the military appointed senator, military appointed senators, of whom there are 250. And so that makes the maths in the parliament very difficult for that democratic side of politics, because it means that they actually need to get a supermajority of 376 out of 500 seats, which is a lot and which is more than what they have at the moment. So the question that analysts are now asking is, how will those military appointed senators vote? Will they give way to the will of the people, or will they opt to support a different Conservative candidate.
Who might that be?
Well, it's hard to say because the military parties performed so poorly at this election. The current Prime Minister, Prayut Chan-o-cha, and his deputy, Prawit Wongsuwan, were both on the ballot, and together their parties got fewer than 80 out of 500 seats in Parliament. So they really don't have enough popular support to be, I think, legitimate prime ministers. There are other figures who could be a sort of compromise candidate, such as the leader of one of the minor parties. But he, again, has fewer than 80 seats in Parliament. So I think many people in Thailand and around the world would regard that as being not a particularly legitimate result.
I'm speaking with Susanna Padden from the Lowy Institute about the recent Thai elections, something of an earthquake in Thai politics, with the Move Forward Party, a party that has seemingly, well, not come from nowhere, but it certainly isn't part of the traditional architecture of Thailand's politics, winning 151 seats in the lower house. If Move Forward and Per Thai get together in terms of forming a coalition, how would it change Thai politics?
I think it would be very significant if those two parties were able to take power and form a coalition government, because they would be interested in types of reform, including to the economy, that really hasn't been looked at by the previous government over the last 10 years. I think what we've seen over the past 10 years is a military government that has really been focused on survival. And in particular, since the 2019 election, it's been a very hodgepodge coalition of different parties, where it's actually really hard to identify any significant policy achievements from that government. And that has seen Thailand, I think, left behind in comparison to its neighbours. It's been quite unwilling to engage in, for example, new free trade agreements. It's not been as competitive as some of its neighbours at attracting foreign investment. And a lot of the long-term challenges that the country face, like its underperforming education system, like its demographic challenges, have really gone unaddressed. And I think that's the kind of thing that could potentially change if Pua Thai and Move Forward are allowed by the conservative side of politics to form government. But I think on the flip side of that, there's a big risk now that this could lead to some political instability, because the history in Thailand is very much one where conservative elites have a history of overturning democratically elected governments. We've seen that with repeated coups and dissolution of political parties throughout Thai political history, really, but especially in the last 20 years when Thailand has been in this quite persistent cycle of conflict between the so-called red and yellow side of politics, which refers to that tension between the Thaksin Shinawat side of politics and the established royalist elites.
Yeah, exactly. That, you say that there are concerns too that conservative forces have some of the tools at their disposal to prevent Move Forward from taking government. I mean, the leader of Move Forward, Peter, also faces corruption charges, apparently, for not declaring shares in a media company, the same charges that brought down his predecessor as party leader. There's also a possibility that Move Forward could be dissolved as a party. Are these real, do you think, given the size of their win?
I think they're very real, because Thailand's institutions like the Election Commission, the Constitutional Court, are not truly independent. Right. So the risk that there could be a move forward is quite real, but it's also a judgment that the establishment will have to make about whether or not it's worth the risk of instability and protests which could follow if they make that kind of move against a democratically elected government. And it's only You only have to go back to 2020, 2021 to, you know, for there to have been quite substantial street protests against the Conservative government. So we could be back there again if there are early moves to dissolve, move forward, or to take Pitta, their candidate for Prime Minister, out.
Hmm. The monarchy in Thailand occupies a very special place. It's much venerated, particularly by older Thais, not venerated to the point of way beyond anything that Westerners might consider. They venerate their own monarchy. It's highly respected, etc. Is the monarchy taking a side here, or indicating which way they'd like to go, or how is it sitting?
No, it's not really clear at this point whether or not there is a preference from the monarch. And so it's more, I think, a question around how the current group of conservative leaders who emerged from the 2014 military coup will respond to the crisis.
How's it being received in other Southeast Asian countries, in particularly its neighbours, this election result? Is this seen as perhaps a mood of change that might sweep other established governments aside?
Well, I think the dynamic in Thailand is quite unique to it, and it's not the case, I think, that we're about to see a broader sort of Southeast Asian spring or something like that. And in fact, just this week in Cambodia, the main opposition party has been ruled out of the opportunity to participate in upcoming elections there. So it's not the case that what we're seeing in Thailand is being replicated elsewhere. But I think one potential implication from the election is on Myanmar policy, because, of course, in neighbouring Myanmar, there's a very protracted civil war and political crisis following the coup there in 2021. And Thailand has been very reluctant to criticise the Myanmar junta or apply pressure within ASEAN because of its close relationship between the two militaries. That's something that could potentially change if Thailand were to have a more progressive government. It could be that Thailand would give greater support to countries like Indonesia within ASEAN, who would like to take a more forward-leaning approach to pressuring the Myanmar junta.
Interesting. Susanna, great to have your expertise and thoughts, really. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.